This year's Mentel All really kind of sucked, if we're being honest. But what were the moments we did find interesting? And which of Charity's players made the best play for a roster spot in Paradise? It's all coming up on The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome to The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome back to The Bachelor Zone, your spin-free zone for hard-hitting Bachelor stats and analysis. I'm your host, Michael Wally. With me, as always, two of my dearest friends and your favorite Bachelor pundits and competitive speed dating experts. We've got Zachary Pike.
Hello, Michael Wally. Hello, America.
And Mr. Smiley, Daniel A. Duddy.
I'm smiling because that was the best episode of television I have ever seen.
Really?
No.
Yep.
Gotcha.
My cup runneth over with your bullshit.
Yeah, I'll take an extra swing of that.
We're gonna spend the next like 45 minutes to an hour, probably closer to 45 minutes, kind of shitting on the men's tell all. But I just want to give a quick shout out because of that cup runneth over line reminded me of it. I think Jesse Palmer's good at this.
He has gotten better. I'll give them some credit. He has gotten better at facilitating this thing.
I don't want to like come out of the gate with an unpopular opinion after what I did last week, but like I truly think he's like just good at hosting things. Like if I was running like a convention or something, and I just needed him to like, you know, hand out some awards at the end of it, I would feel confident.
I liked him in the earrings.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good look for him.
Yeah. Same.
Pulled it off.
All right. Now that that's on my chest, let's get down to business.
I want to start with on a positive note too and say a big thank you from all of us here at the Bachelor Zone to Sarah W. She's our newest patron over at patreon.com. That's where you get all our exclusive bonus content, including Left Unsaid, where we get into all the hot topics that we don't have a chance to cover on the main feed. It's a good night for Sarah to join and for you to come over and join her and our roster patrons over there as well, because I never want to be the type of show, and I know you guys feel this way too, where we're just like, oh, that sucked, like without explaining why we think it sucks. So tonight on Left Unsaid, we're going to diagnose what has gone so wrong the last couple of years with this All-Star game. Why has it gone from something that used to be this spectacular showcase to this barely watchable scrimmage? So you can catch our thoughts on that over at patreon.com/TheBachelorZone. And now let's get into our headlines brought to you by Going Full Kitten, Meow. So we're going to, on our bonus show, we're going to diagnose what exactly went wrong last night, but we can't fix what happened. It was a tough one to watch. Let's just get into it, guys. Was there anything about last night that you found interesting or impactful or something that you'll remember a year from now?
You know what I liked? And I don't have the specifics right in front of me. Oh, Peter. So that Peter guy who was sort of a non-contestant, one of the night ones.
Yeah.
When they started going in on him about that off the field stuff, about the endorsement deals and the post show Zoom call that they all had with production talking about how to handle, I assume, social media and things like that.
Yeah, and their vitriol for this guy who was literally there for 5 seconds.
Yeah, like that whole thing that we didn't hear about at all the whole season, that was the only time my ears really perked up the whole episode, and I paused whatever video game I was playing to multitask through it and was like, oh, wow, that's actually an interesting factoid right there. Like, I want to know more about this. It's so rare that on reality television, especially these the wrap-up shows, that you get into the weeds like that, and I wanted more of it.
And I think it says a lot, too, after the fact about how boring Warwick was, that this is a guy who got a one-on-one date during the tournament and he got replaced by a guy who only said, I want to be your co-pilot. And that's all he did on camera. And then his nonsense took up like a good 5 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Warwick had no lines last night.
Was not there. Was not invited.
That's right. Oh my goodness.
Was not even given a spot on the second string.
That's right. I just conflated that he was there because I saw him in in some of the clips, but he wasn't even on the dais. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, I definitely thought the Peter stuff was interesting. And I found it interesting that the men all took this hardline stance of like, you couldn't even pretend to be there for, you know, like all this wrong reason stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, even behind the scenes, you have to maintain this level of piety, which I think is an interesting like meta element to the game, because obviously they resented him. If you actually didn't care, then you would just be like, oh, okay, he's asking about endorsement deals. So what? You know?
Right.
All this pearl clutching, I think, you know, to be as Shakespearean as Jesse, I think they doth protest too much.
Yeah, truly. Because, yeah, especially when you get into those, like, lower tier week one, week two exits. Yeah, of course you're going to be doing that. Of course you're going to try to eke out the 7,000 Instagram followers, whatever you're going to get from that, and try to capitalize on that and turn it into something for whatever business you have or make some t-shirts. Like, I'm not going to fault a guy for that when it gets to that small thing. If it's affecting your gameplay, if you're starting to do like some Pete Rose type nonsense where it's like completely, you know, taking over how you're playing the game, then yeah, that's doping to me. But yeah, of course, the guy gets out week one. What do you expect the man to do? Of course he's going to try to, you know, eke out whatever little fame he can get from that, try to make a, you know, make a move on the couch. He was trying to get to paradise, you know, God bless.
He chimed in about a moment that where he wasn't even there because he'd been eliminated 3 games ago. And that's exactly what you do when you get invited. You just try to make the most of it, make the most of your moment in the, under the limelight.
He was in the who are you spot, you know, like it's a time honored thing. You know, you come in, you swing a punch at someone way above your weight class and they go, wait, who are you again? That's the guy.
I'm like also sick of that. Like,
you're sick of that?
I'm sick of the who are you as a put down.
Mm.
You know, like,
it's crazy how much it devastated these guys. Yeah. It devastated him, though. You saw how shook he got from that?
I guess. No, maybe, you know what? Maybe it's time honored.
When you put lights on people like that, it's, yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I feel like it's played out. Like, I feel like every year there's, they put someone there who's punching above his weight class.
Mm-hmm.
He, doing what he should be, tries to, you know, get some jabs in. And someone, some other random guy, some other mid-major, turns around and chimes in with, who are you? And they think that they're, you know, Jeff Ross or something.
Right.
Right. It's low-hanging fruit, and it's getting treated like it's this major mic drop still.
Yeah.
To me, it's like a job that someone has to do, like picking up the slack, like doing ITMs and telling America what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things. Like, someone's got to do it. It needs to be taken care of. You know, it's like taking out the trash or something. Like, it's just a chore that they give to these people. And I'm still kind of on board. I think it's necessary. Because if it didn't happen, like next year, say this doesn't happen, I think I'd miss it. Maybe I'm a traditionalist.
And another thing that I find really interesting about the Peter development from last night is that Peter's impact on the season is very minimal. And the conversation they had didn't really amount to much aside from clearing the air. But what I do think was kind of impactful was that it actually represented a pretty big victory for Braden, because Braden's whole motto last night that he was playing with was, I'm the real one here. You guys are fake. And then they have this kind of cruel fuck Peter joke on their Instagram. And the one person who came clean about it and told Peter face to face what that was all about was Braden.
Yeah.
And so it did kind of look good for him that he was the guy who was genuine and honest about it. And the other guys were going behind his back making a cruel inside joke.
I got to ask you guys, do you think last night, we talk a lot about either heel turns or them trying to make him a face character in the men's tell-all to set him up for Bachelor. Last night, it felt like they straddled the line because they really spent a lot of time watching the tape and showing how much of a, and just letting Braden be Braden and just show how much of a lame-o he is and how insufferable he is to America in general. But then there were moments where they were trying to egg him on like he was a hero. And like Jesse even said almost your exact words just now, Wally, like if you're anything, you're a real guy, you know, like you're a real one, you know what I mean? And that kind of thing, it seemed to me like they were trying to set him up to be a future face character. They were trying to give him some kind of, at least lay the groundwork and the foundation for some kind of redemption story. But
I don't know. Maybe the Bachelor's gotten deep, man.
Maybe
he's
a meta
gray
character. Yeah. He could be
Tony Soprano, you know,
He could be anti-hero.
Yeah.
It's possible. I was getting a lot of those hues. That was another interesting last night. It's like Braden, I was like, oh, great. This is going to be like shit on Braden all night. I'm like, not here for it. And then about 20 minutes in, they kept going to Braden for those moments of like, even at the end, talking to Gary and stuff, just like giving him sort of the talking stick the entire night. You know, he was sort of the representative for all the men, which seemed wild to me. But
I think Tony Soprano's awfully generous, though. I think we're talking more like Ralph Cifaretto here. We're just like, oh, God, I have to deal with this fucking guy again.
Yeah. It's going to be... Do you think he's going to have... I don't think, because of the clips that we saw, Do you think he's going to have a Pizza Peter type of paradise or a John Paul Jones type of paradise?
Closer to John Paul Jones, because he's okay. Too good of a player to have a Pizza Peter thing.
Wow.
Braden, you're saying.
He's so annoying, but he is a very talented player. He is unbelievable at deflecting the blame and making it about, no, don't you guys see? I'm the victim here. He is so good at playing that game, and that's exactly what a villain on Paradise is supposed to be.
I'm with you, and I feel like if he, you know, finds, I could see him being someone who comes back, you know? I could see him being someone who becomes a staple. I agree with you, Wally. Yeah. Maybe not like a Demi, because I think he's got a little bit too much stink on him.
Yeah.
But
maybe Shanae or something, even though Shanae is not. I think she's coming back this year.
Like, yeah. I think he could be the next Jordan Kimball. Had Jordan not punched that guy.
Yeah.
That's Jordan, a really good player. I like that player comp a lot. Yeah.
I almost
we'd
said
see
it earlier.
Him every season. Yeah.
I almost said it earlier instead of JPJ because that comp is almost right on the nose. But that would be also a villain turn. That would just be like a, you know, 2 or 3 week and out kind of thing.
Yes and no, because I feel like, again, like there, you, Jordan made you root for him.
Yeah. If anything, I see, you, now that we bring it up, that's probably 100% what's going to happen. It's just the Jordan Kimball arc. You know, where he comes back, it feels like there might be some redemption. He goes on a couple successful dates. He has someone that he's with that, like, seems like it might work out. And then his true colors come out again when he's faced a little bit of stress. And it's, he throws the teddy bear in the water.
But I'll tell you this, too. I think what Jordan didn't have, now that we're really playing this out, is that, right, with the teddy bear, like, we have maybe the best enforcer on the beach that the game has ever seen in Aaron. And I feel like he's going to show up and he's going to immediately, his mission is going to be, I'm going to put Braden into the boards. I'm going to let him know his place.
Yeah. We're talking Aaron B here, or for clarity's sake? Aaron, who was there last night.
No. Aaron, who...
Aaron S? The firefighter?
Aaron S. No. He dated Genevieve.
Oh.
Oh, that, okay. He's doing round three?
Oh, I don't know. I just assumed he'll always be there.
That's a fair assumption, yeah.
Do we not know?
Hey,
that guy's like Jeff Ross at Comedy Central roast. He's just stuck in the he's stuck under a palapa down there. He never leaves.
Truly. It hasn't been announced yet, but yeah, that's fair to assume.
Don't we? I thought that if there was one staple of paradise at this point, you know, it would be him.
He's like Wells at this point, yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like when a villain goes down those paradise stairs, it goes one of two ways. They either go for the redemption arc, like a Chris R, Crystal, Shanae last year. You either do that, or you dig your heels in even deeper, like a Jordan Kimball. And watching that clip of Braden last night in that totally superfluous Indiana Jones hat making out with Kat, he's not there for redemption. He has no interest in that. He is woe is me. He doesn't think he did a thing wrong. He's going to dig his heels in even deeper.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, and I think it'll be fun at times and infuriating at other times to watch. But at least it won't be boring.
No,
I like your point. Sorry, go ahead, Zach.
I want to float something to you guys before we get into. We'll probably talk about this later on Ring Rosa Road, or maybe even the bonus episode. But I stick by my story of what we. From what we saw last night, that Charity is not going home with anybody. And if in this hypothetical, she doesn't take a proposal, doesn't get with anyone at the end of this, what do you think the odds are of her heading down to the Palapas and then Braden's getting another chance to talk to her or some of the other folks we saw, like Xavier?
Charity?
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
This year, zero. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
No question.
Wow. Okay. I'm putting it at like 50.
Whoa!
I'm putting it at like a 50-50. I think it's possible. But yeah, if that happens, and this is it's 50% if she goes home with nobody to try to set up some kind of narrative for her, because I think they love her. I think they love working with her. I think they want her as part of Bachelor Nation. I don't think she's.
Zach, I think your streak from last week has continued for a second.
All right. I mean, I'm not mad about it. It's more like, I think it would be fun, but I'm wondering if that's part of the Braden thing, too. I don't know.
I like what you said about Braden in that it seemed like they give him that center seat in the front row, and it's almost like they were trying to soften us up to him a little bit, yeah, despite all 100%. The stink on him. And I want to hear what you guys think about Xavier, because it felt like they were making that same effort, because he was coming off a disastrous Mayor of Choketown worthy week last week on that Fiji date. Do you think they succeed? Does he look better after last night to you guys? Worse? About the
Dottie,
same? How do you think that went for him?
Dottie, I'm going to let you take this one.
Why are you going to let me take this one?
Just you know, just, I don't feel like getting my feet wet again.
Oh, I see. all right, so I'll speak up on I'll let you take the coward's way out. Xavier, I feel like I think he does come off slightly better, if only because I don't think he could have come off worse. He only had up to go is what I mean.
Last week was rock bottom, yeah.
Last week was rock bottom. But I don't know. I'll let every person individually decide whether they, you know, we could take a poll, right? We could do some sort of like favorability poll to see, you know, how everyone, you know, responded to him. Me personally, my favorability, like I'm like, fuck that guy. I found it more interesting, whether my feelings about him aside, I found it interesting from a gameplay perspective. So his tact was to go full apology. But in weirdly, you know, usually that's what I'd recommend. But it almost, it rang false to me, you know, maybe it was just too little too late. I don't know. What I did think that was kind of cool was he was like, I think where he scored points with me was when he said, I'm going to go to therapy. I'm not ready. I haven't figured this fucking out. And I think that's the closest he got to making that right, because it was basically like, yeah, I'm so far off. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I need outside help here. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, get someone else in. And then maybe after therapy, I come back. But I don't think he did much with charity. I think he was just a fish. You know, I think he just floundered. It was like, I almost wish there was a moment where I don't know what he could have done different, but there was nothing he did that made me go like, oh yeah, I'm on Team Xavier now. Mm-hmm. And actually, you have that feeling, Zach or Wally? Wally?
I'm glad you brought up him mentioning that he's been to therapy, because he was so busted up about this. About what happened. I really hope I'm wrong about this. The way he delivered that, I got the sense that he was fishing for sympathy. Mm-hmm. And that he said it not from a place of heartbreak, but on a place of wanting to get the crowd on his side and be like, oh, they'll feel bad for me if I say that. The delivery to me, it felt the same way as when he was trying to talk himself into him being able to get down on one knee for charity. It reeked of the same falseness. And I really hope I'm wrong about that. Either way, he deserves credit for being brave enough to mention it at all. But it felt... What do you think, Zach? To me, it felt like a sympathy grab a little bit.
Yeah, I 100% agree with both the things that you guys are saying. I'm just looking up right now on Google. I'm just trying to find on Google right now if there's a well-stocked arts and crafts store that carries thread somewhere down in Cellulita. That's all I'm looking at. Because I think that's what he meant by therapy. I think he's going down to the bench.
Oh, he's doing some
like clear your mind therapy?
No, like go to the beach in Mexico with 14 other people who are
right.
Or maybe feel unsure about their
bachelor party with the boys. Open the door back up.
Exactly, yeah. feel, you know, that where that kind of stuff is condoned, that sort of behavior. Yeah. I think that's what's happening. I agree with you. I think it was kind of a sympathy play. And I think, you know, it's tough. You know, sometimes you say things that like your brain's a little bit ahead of your heart is a little bit ahead of your brain, or you haven't fully cooked the idea yet and you shoot it out anyway. And then you get some pushback for it, or it may be wrong timing and people get mad at you, and you just got to sort of eat that crow and go on with your life and try to be a better person after that. You know, that's what I hear.
And and what I find interesting about Xavier last night is we've talked about what a streaky player he is. When he's hot, he's great. When he's cold, he's yikes. And last night we got kind of both of those things on the same night. And in the group setting, I actually thought he was quite good. He did a nice job of coming prepared, looking over the game tape, using quotes that people actually said during the season and using that as evidence against it. He managed to shut Braden up one time by using Braden, an actual quote Braden said against him. I found myself really interested in when Braden was complaining again about the longest kiss date that Charity had with Joey, and Xavier's like, yeah, it's a contest. If you wanted to be the one to kiss her for the longest, then maybe you should have had a better answer during the contest. Like, that's the old school mindset that I feel like has been so sorely missing from this All-Star game.
That was a really exciting point to me, too, where they started getting really meta talking. I was surprised the producers didn't shut them down because they just kind of put the whole premise out on there to be debated. And Braden was kind of like, yeah, see, like, am I crazy? Is anyone else not seeing this? That, like, this is all fake and dumb, you know? And then everyone else was like, shut the fuck up. It's fake and dumb. Like, get on board with it. Like, that back and forth was really fascinating to me. And I think you're right. Xavier was taking the old school approach, you know?
I don't like how he handled all the group date stuff, though. Like, I didn't like...
Braden or Xavier?
Xavier, how he handled the FP stuff. Like, he turned around and he almost like undercut his boys, you know? Like, everyone else was like, Peter's a dick, Peter sucks, we were doing it for this. And then Xavier was like, actually, guys, we are awful. And, you know, we shouldn't have done that. But I'd like to say, hey, look at me, I'm Xavier. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say it was childish and immature. But in doing that, he never really gave any context for, like, why the fuck or how the fuck did that happen?
I'd really love to.
How did the clubhouse become so toxic?
Get to the bottom
and
of that.
Was Joey about this? Was Dotton? Did they have FP?
That was fascinating.
That's a great point.
I know they weren't there last night for obvious reasons, but like when I was rewatching the tape of Braden leaving, of all the other drama that happened early season, the three people that you didn't see around were the three winners. You know, they just weren't around at all. Like any of the real issues that were happening with Braden and that, like Dotton stayed completely out of the entire season, more or less. Like he had opinions of it, obviously, but like he was never really in the middle of it.
But Aaron, who's currently in third, was one of the posts that they showed of having the FP sign on there.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So it's like, let's talk to him. Like, what is this? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I guess we can't, but.
Am I crazy to think that Charity had the vibe that she's not with any of those guys right now?
Well, that seems to be your theory.
I want to know what you guys think.
I think she's with Dotton. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think she's with Dotton as well. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Jesse said that he was very surprised by how the finale unfolded, but this is also coming from a guy who needed an explanation on what going full kitten is. So.
Sure. He also said, though, at the end, the thing that I clocked, and I was going to save it for later, but I might as well bring it up now since it's been invoked. Jesse was, instead of saying the most dramatic finale ever, and the wording he used, the verbiage he used, was the most heartbreaking finale ever.
That's right.
That was the final word of the night. Like, get ready next week for the most heartbreaking finale ever. So that's what led me to believe that no one's going home with that.
That's a really interesting point.
That is a really interesting point.
Well, thank you.
I feel like
you're
maybe
on the board.
Great.
He's still just traumatized from The Bachelor in Paradise after the final rose last year when he's like, this was the most dramatic paradise ever. And then he got laughed out of the building.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. That was fun. Well, it was interesting, but not interesting enough to fill an entire hour.
You know, so here's the thing. So heartbreaking, I would think if... Like, when I think about the most heartbreaking finales ever, the one who I think Brandon and Michelle, Brandon not getting picked, that's actually who I had the most sympathy for in maybe covering the show. That's a guy who really loved her and would have stayed with her, you'd think.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, you know,
but
like he left it all on the line and he lost. That's heartbreaking to me, you know.
Yeah, Brandon and Blake Horseman are the two where I was like, wow, he genuinely thought he had found the love of his life and was going to get down on one knee, and then it didn't go his way in the finals.
But if Joey were to lose this, I don't get the sense that he'd be so broken up about it. If Dotton were to lose this, even though I think he probably does have strong feelings for Charity, I get the sense that he'd get over it. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he seems like a grounded enough guy. But, and if Charity, if this doesn't work out for her, I also have the sense that, so I'm trying to figure out what would happen to make this the most heartbreaking finale ever. Perhaps it is a bit of hyperbole.
The most heartbreaking possibility that I can think of based on the circumstances is that Dotton gets cold feet, because she is so, she likes Joey a lot, but she is way more into Dotton. Like, that is the matchup she wants. And if he says no, if he walks away from this, she, for me, would be on that Brandon level.
From the previews we saw, it looked like there's a lot of going back and forth and flip-flopping that we're in store for next week. Her and her mom just kind of hashing out her feelings, trying to figure it out. And I think if that stretches on for a while, and then everyone starts to get the yips start to spread around, and Dotton starts to also, like, why is it taking so long to decide? Do you know what I mean? And then she finally does pick him, but it took, like, 3 days longer than it should have, and he has to sit around in a hotel, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I could see what you're saying coming true. He's like, you know what? I think we should probably take this slowly, and maybe we can date when we get home, but I'm not going to propose to you. And then that, like, breaks her down because she's so traditional or whatever.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in this championship game with just 1 week left in the season. But there are several weeks left in the summer, and so that's why I want to be real a second for just a millisecond to talk about self-care. When it comes to making an impression this summer, proper grooming is essential to looking and feeling your best when you walk into a room, onto the sand, on the beach, wherever you're going. That's why the sponsors of today's show, our good friends over at Manscaped, are committed to helping men around the world walk and talk with some swagger this summer with the best grooming tools that you'll find anywhere. So join the 8 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and enjoy this offer: 20% off and free shipping when you use the code ZONE3 at manscaped.com. Don't neglect your beautiful self and get right this summer by going to manscaped.com and using our special code ZONE3, ZONE and the number 3, for 20% off and free shipping.
I want to talk to you about Manscaped, though, but something that you might not necessarily think of immediately when you think about Manscaped. Sure.
Yeah.
The trimmers, the shavers.
Sure.
All that stuff, fantastic, top of the line. Mm-hmm. But the clothing.
Ooh.
The clothing. I actually, this is not even a bit, I'm wearing my Manscaped swag right now. Mm-hmm. The shirt, the boxers, all silky smooth.
Very fits comfortable, perfect. Yes.
Bearing that Manscaped brand that everyone loves. You wear Manscaped, people think, oh, you must be in podcasting.
It's true.
Which I can't imagine a cooler thing to be in. So
you either must be in podcasting or you love a podcast.
And you love both cool things. So, you know, it's not just about the trimmers, guys. Check out the clothes.
Yeah. And like we were just saying, Manscaped supports The Bachelor Zone. And if you support The Bachelor Zone, hey, get a nice little deal. Support Manscaped. They provided so much of they provided an awesome exclusive offer for our listeners. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ZONE3 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code ZONE3. Feel like yourself again and take charge of your life with Manscaped.
So Manscaped's got your back, or more accurately, your chin and your lower area. But who's got your back when it comes to fantasy? Well, that, of course, is the talented Mr. Jose Max Singer. And here he is with his championship game coverage, bringing you your Fantasy Minute.
Here he comes now, but my Max Singer, he's a fantasy pro. Gonna tell you who's playing for the ring, for the rose, or for the road. And he's got those takes and inside scoop that you're gonna need. So Max Singer, who do you like this week in fantasy?
Leave the lukewarm tea in the pot, Jesse Palmer. The only thing I want to talk about this week is the primetime debut of the new Pride of Indiana, our Golden Bachelor Gary, spelled like Jerry. Parks and Rec did this joke first, but I digress. Looking ahead to next season, here's what I want to see from the first installment of the Golden Bachelor. First up, we're renaming the First Impression Rose the Early Bird Special this season. On opening night, I will also be keeping tally of how many people bring photos of their grandkids to the mansion. If any programmers from the Batch Live app are listening, make photos of grandkids worth points. Group travel is the cornerstone of any Bachelor season, and this year, prepare yourselves for fun in the sun in Sarasota, Florida, the perfect location for weeks 5, 7, and even fantasy suites. And finally, this show is canon. We're not doing Listen to Your Heart again. Invite fan faves to paradise. I want to see three girls named Lindsay, all spelled different ways, complaining to a grown woman about drama that went down at Stagecoach in the VIP tent. I crave it. So we'll see you on the Batch Live app to play along with the Golden Bachelor. And as always, I'm the talented Mr. Rose, and this has been your Fantasy
Thank
Minute.
Thank you, Max. This week's Fantasy Minute brought to you, as always, by the Batch Live app. Think you have what it takes to out-fantasy your favorite Bachelor Zone pundits? Download the Batch Live app on your smartphone and join our exclusive league for free today. And make sure you stay till the end of the show tonight. We weren't able to update you on the top five last week because of some app issues, but we've got those numbers in this week. It is an exciting race. Very exciting with just one week left in the season, so we'll have that for you at the end. But first, we got to talk all things swats, deflections, box outs, and down hard, gritty defense. It's Steal of the Night.
This is the Steal of the Night.
Steal of the Night brought to you this week by Blank White T-Shirts, the official T-shirt of Pilot Peter. So, guys, in the All-Star game, there's a lot of dunking, but there's also a lot of great defense out there. Zach, I'll start with you. Who gets your Steal of the Night for this Mentel All?
What's the name of that little Prince Charming son of a bitch who was on the riverboat? Sean, yeah?
Oh, Captain Tom.
No. But the actual contestant, our competitor.
Sean, yeah.
Sean, yeah. Captain Tom, we'll talk about later. Sean trying to make a strange move to the couch, uninvited, to try to get as much limelight as he can. I know this guy's going to end up in paradise. I don't really want to see him there, to be honest. You just smell it on him. He's one of those kids who wants to be part of the group, and you just don't want to be part of the group. I'm sorry. Can't sit here. Seat's taken. And the fact that Jesse gave him that, he let him finish. He let him sit down. He could have easily been like, oh, no, sorry, cut. Let's cut. Hey, you can't just walk over there. We need like time for the cameraman to set that up. And Jesse just went with it, let him speak his piece, and then just gave one of the hardest dunks we've seen. Men's Tell All sends Meatball fucking face-tackled. yeah, so like it's one of those things that you got to have.
So you're giving it to Jesse or to Sean?
Giving it to Jesse Palmer.
Whoa!
For holding down that couch area as he should. That's like one of his main jobs. There is to just kind of keep things moving, but also to keep the sanctity of that couch secure. He did let it get breached for a moment, but then I think it was smart because the lesson he gave is going to last a few years. He's not going to have to worry about someone trying that bullshit the next couple of years because he totally laid him out flat afterwards.
Yeah, because when someone asks to approach the hot seat, you gotta seed the moment and just see what they come up with.
Sure.
But you got to, that person, they better bring their best stuff too. And that was some weak sauce that he brought there.
You better bring a prop or
something.
Jesse swatted
it very forcefully.
If he brought a ring up there or something or some crazy ass prop that set up something he's going to do in paradise, sure, give it to him. But he just wanted to say the exact same thing he was going to say at his normal chair in the big chair? No, get away. Get out of here with that shit.
Yeah, that's a great nomination for Jesse Palmer. DA, who gets your steal of the night this week?
I was actually considering Sean because I thought he did a great job stealing spotlight for absolutely no reason. He made his way onto the hot seat without, you know, it was like playing poker and he had 2-7 offsuit and he bluffed his way to the main table. That said, Zach is right. Jesse did call him and sent him home. I guess you do have to know when to fold him and when to walk away. So I'm giving it instead to Gary, who one deserves my seal of the night.
I'm a spit took.
Just for now one for making Zach spit, two for actually being the only interesting piece of content on the show. But three, my favorite moment was when, and maybe he had the assist from Jesse with this, but they asked the men, to give Gary advice. And I think everyone in the building knew that Gary didn't need any advice. No.
This he's was, good to go. And
he's good to go. And it was only like, it just highlighted how, you know, inept this group actually was.
Oh, yeah.
It just further rubbed salt in the wound that these guys were in no position to be giving this man.
They were wise enough to get onto that eventually.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Brayden took the bait and said some dumb shit about being yourself. And then the rest of the guys are like, what are we even doing? We're not going to give you advice.
Right.
You should be giving us advice.
But it almost smacked of, like, you know, Kobe Bryant, you know, showing up to like a rec league being like, hey, you got any pointers for me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's just insulting. It's just another way to talk trash.
Yeah, it's insulting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for that, I think it was just tremendous defense on Gary's part. Mm.
That's another great nomination. I am going to break the tie because one of those things that was said was actually my idea too. But first, I want to throw out a couple of nominees worth mentioning. First of all, most prescription drug commercials, they get some like nameless middle-aged person to do like some activity while they're listing off the symptoms, like play in their men's softball league or take their son fishing or something like that. Mm-hmm. Nurtec, a migraine medicine, they got Lady Gaga for their prescription drug commercial last night. That was a huge pickup.
Yeah, it's wild. I've been seeing those around, and it's really something.
I've never seen someone more famous than Cyndi Lauper on a prescription drug commercial on Nurtec. I'm with Gaga.
Girls just want to have psoriasis. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So that's one.
Is that your pick? Okay.
It's just a nomination. Secondly, I want to shout out the fan who, when they were showing Braden's clip from Paradise, when he's in the smoocheria with Kat, and Kat does an interview with the media where she says, oh, Braden's so hot and he has so much depth. And they did the picture-in-picture showing the crowd. And there's this young woman in the crowd who kind of cringed, like, is he either of those things?
Yeah. I noticed Braden's body leave his soul, like, or his soul leave his body when that clip, when it started getting into the territory of him, like, getting shunted from the house and all that, there was a moment where it crossed his eyes where you could feel him, like, fully intaking the moment and the reality that he is now in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where he was just like, oh, shit, I'm the bad guy. Like, he totally realized it, which actually made me kind of happy, that he clocked. He could clock that moment, and then everything past that, like when they watched the Paradise stuff, you could tell he was totally in his head. Just like, what am I doing with my, like, what is this? What am I, oh no.
Yeah.
Like, because I think he thought he was going to be the hero, sort of. Like, he was going to get kind of like a scampy villain thing, and he's like, oh wait, no, I look like a douche.
Yeah.
Am I insecure?
The crowd was tough with him, as exemplified in that one shiny moment from that young fan there. But I'm going to break the tie, and Zach, as much as I love your pick of Jesse defending the hot seat like that and swatting the weak shit out of there. It was just such a muck of a show up until the ninth inning. You call in the closer, you bring in Gary out of the bullpen, and he just stole the show. He was amazing to watch. He gets the whole room and everyone watching worldwide rooting for him just within a couple of minutes has everybody so pumped about the season to come with him. Just totally stealing the momentum like that. I got to break the tie and go Gary for steal of the night this week.
Wow. Yeah, that up intro was pretty intense.
Yeah. So, big night for Gary, but it wasn't a great night for everybody. Far from it. We're going to talk about that next as we hand out the keys to the city that nobody wants to go to in Mayor of Choketown. Mayor of Choketown brought to you this week by Aaron S.'s Outfit. For when the vibe is Saturday night COVID. So, tough night to watch overall. Let's point some fingers here, guys. DA, I'll start with you. Who gets, out of all the performances last night, who do you think deserves the key to the city?
I really, actually, I'm going to cop out a little bit. I don't want to give it to anyone. I want to give it to the entire clubhouse.
That's fair.
The F piece, and I really hate doing this, but it does feel like the FP stuff was a group effort, and it was something that not only did they fail to address it properly, there did not seem to be any unified messaging. They didn't have a plan for how to address it. They knew it was coming. Peter basically telegraphed it from the beginning. No one was like, oh my God, I didn't even remember. You know, they all knew about this shit. They knew probably too that Braden would also, you know, mm-hmm. because they took that side. They brought up the fact that Braden told, and then they admonished him for it. I forget which guy it was in particular. It was, I don't remember. Doesn't matter. We'll cut this part out.
No.
Okay,
we're
fine. But the whole clubhouse, they didn't have a unified strategy. They didn't have a unified message. And they completely shit the bed, and I think it was just Bush League stuff. Like, also, it's a lame-ass joke. FP? Mm-hmm. What are we in fifth grade? That's it's just fuck Peter. That's your creed, and you're making that your identity. You're putting that at the bottom of your picture. I don't know, man. It's some weak sauce, and I feel like there were such high hopes for this group of guys, and I feel like in the end of it, I feel like they're gonna prove to be a rather unremarkable bunch.
Yeah, I totally agree with you that the whole FP thing, the caliber of it, it's like a 10-year-old scribbling on the bathroom wall and giggling about it. Like it's not even clever. And the fact that they knew that this was coming and they still looked like chickens with their head cut off trying to deflect it, it shows you how discombobulated this clubhouse was this entire season. We've been saying this from the beginning, how they had no communication. They had no cohesion when trying to shut down Braden. And once again, Braden walks all over them last night. And even Pilot Peters is rattling them last night. Even someone who barely was on the show was walking all over them. So, yeah, I think it's a great vote for the clubhouse. Well-deserved, certainly. Zach, how about you? Who gets your key to the city?
Pilot Peter part two. Have some respect, Michael Wally. Pilot Peter part two.
Do I have to?
No, you don't. I'm glad you brought up fifth graders, and Wally, you kind of instill it too with these 10th graders writing stuff on the wall, because I'm also going to give it to these fucking scamps. Because to me, it totally felt like I was trying to think of the same thing. Like, you know, who can I blame? But it felt like walking up to a group of sixth graders in 1999 while they're smoking a bong out in a field, and you catch them and they all just look at you like, ah, we're all guilty. And it's like, and then they start saying like, oh, it's his idea. It was like Johnny's idea. It's like, you're all so dumb. I'm punishing all of you. You know what I mean? Not that smoking a bong in a field in 1999 was a bad thing. Lord knows. But I think it's that thing where it's like they had that feeling where they all did something wrong. They're all stupid in some way or another. Everyone's hands were dirty. And instead of just like getting a unified idea and apologizing for it or whatever that looks like, they all just were all over the place. Even ones that I thought were like kind of above the fray a little bit were just like sticking their foot in it left and right, where I was just like, all of you guys are in detention.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, we're done here. You know, you're all staying after class. So, yeah, I got to give it to the clubhouse, too. It was a poor showing, especially after we've had some fun men's tell-alls in the last couple of years. I mean, it's been a little dodgy, which we'll talk about later. But, like, the overall, there's at least some things to hold on to. And last night, there was nothing.
Yeah, this clubhouse, they're in serious need of watching Gladiator, because they totally missed Maximus's message of the most important thing in battle is you got to win your crowd. There were no applause breaks. There was no one cheering, no one laughing.
There was a lot of canned. I noticed even with Jesse's jokes, it was definitely those cut two laughs and stuff were from another time.
Right.
You know, it was from the warm up comic.
Yeah.
All of it. Yeah.
It was a stuffy room, a dead room, and it was all the guys just, they spent the whole night pouring ice cold water on the room up until Gary got out there. The two most egregious examples of bad clubhouse play that I'll single out is, you brought it up, Zach, how Sean just approaches the hot seat for no reason. I have no idea why players willfully go to the hot seat when they haven't been called there. I mean, if you know that there's no chance of converting a trip to the Smoocheria, why go in the red zone at all? I can't think of a way that it could possibly benefit you in that situation. And then what he did with that time, it was just so unnecessary. There was no reason he couldn't have said it from 15 feet away. And it played like a corny, stunt. Like he was just trying to get some attention before Paradise. Yeah. So that totally blew up in his face. And then also Caleb, when he's in the back corner, when he's like, oh, who is Peter? Oh yeah, this guy, Peter. Let's give it up for Peter, everybody. And then he tried to get the crowd to clap with him. And no one did. It was totally unfunny. It didn't work at all. And between those two things, I was trying to decide which one rubbed me the wrong way more. At least with Sean, that's kind of been his calling card. It's playing too big for his britches and sort of going into places where he doesn't belong and ruffling feathers. So at least he kind of built his player profile a little bit. But Caleb, before last night, he was kind of seen as like the sweet, fun-loving guy in the clubhouse, as a clubhouse presence. And then suddenly he's just being really mean to a guy who was hardly there to begin with, and in a unfunny way.
I was most disappointed in him. Like, if we're going to carry on this schoolboys all in trouble analogy, like I would say to him, like, you're better than this, Mr. Caleb.
Right.
Like, you come on. You of all people, I thought better of you.
Absolutely. I want the whole class in detention. I'm trading Caleb's cowboy hat for the dunce hat. I want him to be the one wearing the hat. But I agree with you guys that the key to the city this week belongs to this entire clubhouse. Lackluster play and another lackluster all-star game. Really bad night for them. But it all comes down to one word. Microdosing. What is it? You know, that just right feeling when your body and your mind are really at peace. Like after a workout or a nice long shower when you're relaxed, focused, and a little bit energized. Microdosing helps you get in that zone easier and stay there longer, which is, I think, where those guys needed to be last night because they played like they weren't relaxed at all. I know it's where I want to be, too.
Yeah, totally. You know when you have that not just right feeling in your chest, like Braden and all the other guys had last night? That's when you want to take a little microdose. And, you know...
Or call a doctor.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you should probably call a doctor first. But no, if you're feeling a little energized in a bad way or a little jittery and all that, take a little microdose, relax, think about your thoughts a little bit, what you're going to say, how you're going to read the ad copy, and then, you know, get back into it.
Microdose is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use code ZONE3 to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description. But again, that's microdose.com. And zone 3. That's the code.
That this ad has been brought to you by people who have just microdosed before the podcast.
as you can tell, we've got a little bit left in the tank, and we want to look at the road ahead because the men's tell-all, oftentimes, it's an audition or maybe a warm-up for paradise. So in terms of earning a berth on those beaches in Sayulita, who was thriving, who was merely surviving, and who's going to be driving on the 710 back down to Pasadena, it's Ring Rosa Road. Ring Rosa Road this week brought to you by Knitted Roses when it's too late to apologize. So, guys, let's look at the six guys who got the most camera time last night and talk about if they played well enough to earn a spot on the beaches of paradise or not. We'll start with Aaron S., the firefighter. Zach, is he playing for the Ring the Rose or the Road?
I think he's playing for the Rose. I really didn't enjoy his presence last night.
Same.
He annoyed the hell out of me. His vibes are wrong. It's all bad. He sucks. He's definitely going to be in paradise though, which I guess is playing for the Rose in this context. And I think he's going to have a couple weeks there and then no one's going to like him.
Yeah. He, without giving away any spoilers, he struck me as the kind of guy who saw the Barbie movie and has no problems with anything with any of Ken's actions that he took. He just the toxic masculinity jumps off the screen. When he's calling out Peter for having no personality, and I'm like, those are really big words from a guy who has participated in every season that we've covered and has never made it past the third week.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? this guy's been in every season, right?
Yeah, he just feels like that same clubhouse guy who's always there and doesn't amount to much.
Yeah, he's always I swear to God we've seen him before.
Yeah.
Like it's something, yeah. Or I went to high school with him. I don't know. He is definitely an every dude guy.
Yeah.
In not a good way.
That type
not
of guy.
A Bruce Springsteen kind of way.
Yeah, that type of guy feels like he's always there. Because of the toxic masculinity thing, I think we're going to be seeing him again, unfortunately. So even though, yeah, his presence is irksome, I think it's a Rose as well. Up next, we've got John B. I have no idea why they put him in the second string last night. That center seat on the back row, strategically, it is a good seat, I suppose, in terms of getting your messages across and kind of getting control of the room a little bit. But that's what I don't know how a guy who came in seventh place was sitting behind, say, an Aaron S. and a Michael, but that's where John was sitting last night. DA, what do you think? Is he playing for the Ring, the Rose, or the Road?
I think he's playing for the Road. I think he kind of proved, he kind of played down to the seats level. You know, I think he had like one or two quips and all of them were not serious. Mm-hmm. All of them were, I'm just here to have fun. And I don't know. I think this is a player who, you know, to borrow a phrase, ostensibly had a shot at this. And he doesn't seem bothered by it at all. Doesn't seem to be taking it serious. So for me, that's a Road move. But maybe that's the position he's trying to be in. Is he just wants to be the fun guy on the beach.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Sloop John B, my grandfather and me. Go down there and do that. Song reference. He's bad.
But I agree with Denny that he's going to be riding the Sloop John B back to Pasadena. Because, I mean, this is a guy who was already getting a tough whistle. I mean, up until his elimination, that guy was a walking bucket. And for reasons that we don't really know, and Charity wasn't even able to explain to him very well, he got cut right when he was in rhythm. So I was excited to see what he did with the opportunity last night. And he didn't really do much. All he did was just sort of complain about his time getting interrupted. Didn't stand out in any way. The crowd seems to like him and seems to want to be able to get behind him, but just based on his play, it's tough to rally. At this point in time, it's tough to rally behind him. I hope he gets another chance in Paradise. Very likable guy, very skilled player, but he didn't do a lot to earn it last night. Up next, we've got Braden. Zach, say what you will about him, but tell me this. Is he playing for the Ring, the Rose, or the Road?
It's actually a tough question, which I hate. I wish he was just playing for the Road. When I find out that he was a psych nurse this episode, that freaked me out. I was like, good Lord. I already was having horrible images of him just like bringing people their orange juice and stuff in a regular ER or something. And the fact that this guy is dealing with people in mental crisis and having to deal with him is tough for me. Say what you will. He might be a saint. Who knows? It's just gut reaction from what I've seen of him on a reality TV show. But I think he's actually playing for the Rose, unfortunately. I think he's going to, you know, he caused such a big stir this whole season, and he does have a lot of funny one-liners in the ITMs. I think the producers don't like him but tolerate him in a way of like, he's a scamp. Like, he does give us easy content. We're just going to keep him around for that reason as a shit stirrer. It'd be fun to see him and, like, a Shanae out on the beach, both, you know, like, just villain. It'd be fun if we had, like, a villain Palapa down there. And it'd be fun to see him linger in that. I don't know if that's what we're going to get, but he's around. He's not going anywhere, you know, even if he doesn't think that the show's premise makes sense or, you know, doesn't want to be on television probably in his heart of hearts, he's going to be around.
Yeah, hate him or really hate him, but that dude really, really knows how to get screen time. And I feel like screen time dominant players, Paradise in particular, is the environment where they really thrive. And I think we know he's going to be there based on the clip last night. And I think, unfortunately, for better or worse, he's going to be sticking around there for a long time. Up next, we have Xavier. DA, rough night for him last night where he didn't do a ton to control the damage that he caused last week. Is there hope for him this year if he heads down the stairs, Ring, Rose, or Road?
I mean, short of him stealing Charity and tying her to a train track, I can't imagine a worse performance from him. So, yeah, that's an ROAD for me. Maybe he'll be at the beach. But I think worse than doping, like, I think there's no, and maybe worse than, you know, some sort of, like, violent STD, I think there's no greater beach repellent than having the stink of, you know, being a cheater on you, being someone who would be unfaithful. I think that's going to make it very hard to play the spread. And I think he's going to get the toughest of whistles because of it. So if I'm coaching him up and he's on the beach, I'd say the first person you hook, just call that a win. Just take it, you know? Because if you try anything funny, how do you even defend against that? You know? So I don't know. I don't love him. I really don't love him. I hope he doesn't show up in Paradise. Road for me.
Yeah, Paradise is this very weird dichotomy where it's this player's club, but you can't have the reputation of being a player, even though the spread is so rampant there. And now he's got that reputation. He's got that stink on him. It kind of reminds me of Nate from Gabby's Roster of Men last year, where he clearly has a ton of skill. I could see him being successful on those beaches in the future, but the stink is just so rancid that you got to give the guy a year and give the audience a year to be like, wait a second, what did that guy do again? It's been a long time. I don't really remember anymore. So I do think Xavier will compete on Paradise sometime in the future. But as for this year, I think it's Road. Up next, we've got Tanner. We haven't talked about him at all tonight, but he did get the biggest applause break by far from anyone aside from Charity. How do you feel about Tanner, Zach? Is he playing for the Ring, the Rose, or the Road if he gets that Paradise invite?
I have weird, random thoughts about it. I don't think much about him. The thing about him is I don't really see him going to Paradise. You know what I mean? Like, his just vibe doesn't give me Paradise. Or if he does head down there, he's going to be too quiet for his own good and just have a few nice meals at catering and then, you know, maybe get a knitted sweater from Xavier if what I think is going to happen happens. But other than that, no, I don't think he has much to give. So I actually have to give him kind of a soft, gentle road. You know, I'm not telling him to kick rocks. I'm just being like, yeah, sorry, bud. You know, you probably can do better in life than this. Go be a good guy somewhere.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. The one reason that I'll give him a soft row, a very soft rose, is because he's very workmanlike, but the crowd seems to appreciate his workmanlike approach. They did respond to him last night. He was the person who received the most praise from the crowd, it seemed like to me. He's doing something that's working, and it's hard to say what that is. It's certainly not flashy, but Paradise is a place for the flashy, and so it might not be the right setting for him. It's tough to see him doing well down there for sure. Finally, we have Sean, who, and this is another example of me not understanding the seating arrangement at all last night. That bottom left corner on the first row is usually reserved for the person who they're grooming to be the bachelor. And Sean was in that seat. Anytime he wasn't trying to sneak into the hot seat, he was in that seat last night. I don't understand that at all.
Oh, could you imagine if they announced that tomorrow?
Oh, my God.
burn the whole shit down. We're done. The podcast is over. Everything's over. Everything's done.
Shrek 5, Sean's the bachelor.
Yeah, truly.
What do you think about his Paradise chances, DA? Is he playing for the Ring, the Rose, or the Road?
I think he's playing for the Rose. I feel like, you know, he... Look, there was a lot of swings taken. And I think some landed, some didn't. It definitely wasn't like the greatest all-star game performance we've ever seen. I don't think any records were broken, but at least it was positive. And for that reason alone, in a field in which everyone else struggled, I think that's worth a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he swung and missed a few times last night, but he's also the type of player who doesn't really seem to care. He's never in a situation that he's daunted by. He always comes to play and gives it his best effort, and that's exactly the kind of attitude that you want to have on Paradise. So I got him at least. I think he's definitely going to be there. I have his prospects at least on the Rose level. But I can tell you this, that our fans are always playing for the Ring. Thank you so much for checking us out every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Anywhere you get your podcast, we're there waiting for you, and we'd love to have you join. Thank you so much for rating us, leaving a 5-star review for us, even just telling your friends about us, spreading the word. That helps us grow and become an even better podcast, which we strive so hard to be, and we appreciate you so much with all your support on that. Special thanks again to Sarah W. and all our beloved patrons over on Patreon.com. That's where, as we said at the top of the show, you get to check out Left Unsaid, our exclusive bonus content. All the hot topics that we don't have a chance to cover tonight, you're going to be able to find us talking about them over there on patreon.com/TheBachelorZone. We always love hearing from you on social media. You can get at us on TikTok and Instagram. The handle is @BachelorZonePod. By email, it's TheBachelorZonePodcast@gmail.com. Zach took a shellacking last week. It was fun for us to get back to you. We love debating. You love to hear what you have to say. So, get at us anytime, and we'll respond to you really quickly.
Feel free to shit on Zach whenever you want.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it.
No, that's good. It was deserved. It was deserved. Thank you, everyone, for reaching out and saying how wrong I was.
It was fun to watch from a bird's eye view. Yeah,
but, sure. Yeah, it was great.
Glad you came out of it. No words for the wear. Finally, the moment you've all been waiting for. As we said last week, we weren't able to update you on the Batch Live top five on our exclusive fantasy league, because there are some storms going on in the Northeast. Everyone's okay. The standings are up to date. And, oh, boy, what a shakeup. What a race we have going on over there. Number five, oh, the kid's back. Yours truly, Wally, with 2,330 points. Just ahead of me is Hot Tubbies, having a great season on our fantasy league, with 2,335 points. Number three in that bronze medal spot, Coffee, Coffee, Coffee. They always seem to be there in the mix. And they're right back there again this year with 2340 points. Number two, we had a shakeup this week. Max Singer, he had been in the number one spot for several weeks, down to number two this week with 2410 points. And that's because last year's champ, Dahlia Hawthorne, made all the right moves to go ahead of him, just 20 points ahead with 2430 points. So there's one game left in the season, one player to pick. I'm fascinated to see who comes away with our free t-shirt this year. What a race we got going.
It sounds like it really does sound like, I mean, Wally, in the way you're doing it, maybe intentionally, maybe not, it does sound like you're calling a horse race.
Yeah.
But what I love the most is the names, like Coffee, Coffee, Coffee. That could be like a pie oh my, you know, that could be like, you know, it's nice.
Yes, we got names. Maxwell Singh and Dahlia Hawthorne neck and neck as they come around on the final stretch. But three other players still just behind them, 1 week to play. Check it out over on the Batch Live app and see who comes away with this free t-shirt. Can't wait to find out what happens there. And can't wait to have you join us next week as we get into this championship game. It should be an awesome one. Until then, for Zachary Pike and Daniel A. Duddy, I'm Michael Wally, and this is The Bachelor Zone.